This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at TAB, comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online this morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We got three lines open for you. The lines are already starting to pick up, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So speaking of concerns, I have a little article here that I kind of found interesting. So we already know Tesla's subsidies are starting to drop and be are gone. We've already given him $1.8 billion for the 250,000 cars they've sold at $7,500 a pop. And that subsidy is going away. So what does Tesla have to do? Well, they've increased their supercharging price to the point that gasoline might be cheaper than charging your car. Now, I know the folks at Tesla touted a savings as part of your purchase of your $80,000 electric vehicle. And, I mean, that's an oxymoron in the first place. But secondarily, to have them crank the rate. Now, I was going to use the old Colon Blow commercial from the Saturday Night Live and, you know, ask you how many percentage points they increased it. You know, 1, 2, 4, higher, 7, try again. But I figured I would be too long because they actually increased their prices 33%. That's a big spike. And, if it turns out that it takes me 5 minutes to spend $35 to fill my car, and it takes you an hour plus at your supercharger to spend $35, who's really ahead? People screamed. The Tesla owners screamed and complained because it's a lot of increase there. So they reduced that increase by 10%. So you're looking at a 23% increase. And it's going to go higher, guys. I mean, the subsidies are gone. They have no way to – they can't hide the math anymore. The math is what it is. And when you're putting in these superchargers and you need to pump a lot of juice, there's different regions that have different electric rates. And California, New York, you're finding you're charging your Tesla for as much as I'm putting in for my gas. So
– yeah, but saving the planet is worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Sure. Sure, that's why they bought them. But it's great. I mean, I'm happy you bought them. I have no problem with you buying them. I'm cranky about us giving you $1.8 billion to do it, but that's a whole other problem. And now you guys are going to be looking at the actual math, and maybe it's not a savings. But you didn't buy it for that anyway, so you know that. You bought it for the coolness, which of course it is, and the technology, of course, all very cool stuff. But to make your friends and neighbors pay for it bothers me. I'll put a link here for you. You can read the story. And it's very interesting. And, of course, the rates are only going to go where? Up.
Well, you know, when you're at the bottom, there's only one way to go.
Exactly. What else you got, Bob?
On a related note,
yeah,
Electrify America is shutting down all of its 150 to 350 kilowatt chargers due to potential cable defects.
Oh, boy.
The liquid-cooled cables from a third-party manufacturer may have a defect that makes the high rate of charge unsafe.
Yeah, so even though you're sitting there for an hour to charge your car, Well, that's a high rate.
If you're on the high rate charger,
it can melt the cable.
Well, you can't use it.
Yeah, that stinks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Electrify America announced on Friday that it's shutting down all of its high-powered 150 to 350 kilowatt electric chargers due to a potential manufacturing defect with the liquid-cooled charging cables.
Mm-hmm.
If all of that sounds kind of wild, that's because it is. The cables in question come from a supplier called Huebner Plus Sooner. Electrify America's release didn't specify what defect might be or whether any injuries or damage had occurred.
Yeah.
The safety of our customers is our highest priority, said Giovanni Palazzo, president and CEO of Electrify America. Out of an abundance of caution, Electrify America is shutting down all of our stations that use the Huebner Plus Sooner high-powered cables until we can confirm that they can be safely operated.
Gotcha.
We are confident that Huber will investigate and resolve the issue as soon as possible. However, it's not all bad news for EV owners, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Electrify America isn't shutting down all of its chargers, so 50-kilowatt CCS chargers are still running as our level 2 chargers.
Well, so it'll take you 3 hours to charge your car at those 50 kilowatt ones.
Maybe more.
Maybe more. So if you got half a day, you got nothing to do when you're going wherever you're going.
So you can pay 33% more and spend
4 hours, half a day to charge your car. I'm sure it's considered progress, but I don't know. Here's something that's kind of funny that we found. John McAfee, if you remember John McAfee, he's the guy that invented McAfee antivirus. Now, this guy is running for president. He's recruited hundreds of masked lookalikes for his 2020 presidential bid. Now, you may find that kind of odd. Why would John McAfee want people running around with his face over their face? And why would you do it, by the way? But neither here nor there. Turns out that this guy hasn't paid his taxes. And he's on the run from the IRS. I mean, like half of Congress anyway. There's tons of freaking Congress people that haven't paid their taxes either.
But a boat in the South Pacific.
Yeah. But John McAfee himself is sitting out there trying to become a president, and he owes the IRS a chunk of money, and he wants you to wear his face to, I don't know what, cause some sort of confusion within IRS officials. I mean, they're smarter than that. But it's a pretty interesting little story about Crazy John and yeah, he's gone kind of weird in the past decade or so.
Comes with age.
Hey, right. Who might have saw? Who might have talked, Bob? You're right. But we'll put a link up here for John and his bid. I mean, everyone wants to run for president these days, it seems. So why not John McAfee? Crazier things have happened. What else you got, Bob?
Microsoft's Bing search engine is blocked in China.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, wow. Search engine is inaccessible by government order, the Financial Times reported.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft's Bing search engine is inaccessible in China following a government order, the Financial Times reported.
Mm-hmm.
State-owned telecom company China Unicom confirmed that the government had ordered the block.
Yeah.
Microsoft didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, but is reportedly investigating the matter because they don't even know that they're being blocked, apparently. Yeah.
Who uses Bing anyways?
If Bing is indeed blocked in China, it would become the second major search engine to exit the country.
Mm-hmm.
Google withdrew its search engine and other websites in 2010 to avoid censorship and any compromise to its commitment to a free and open internet, like the, what's the name of that search engine that they're working on?
Dragonfly.
Dragonfly.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the Chinese government, which is a
censored
search engine.
So Facebook, Twitter, and Yahoo are among the thousands of websites originating in the West that are blocked by the so-called Great Firewall of China.
Mm-hmm. More walls. Virtual walls.
Walls work.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, so the Chinese say. Anything else you got, Bob?
Gatwick Airport. I think that's in London.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the UK.
All right.
Okay. We'll test robot valet for parking cars.
This is kind of neat.
It has a an adorable name, Stan. Okay.
Yeah.
So your next airport valet might be named Stan, and it might also be a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Gatwick Airport in Britain announced this week that it will use Stanley Robotics. That's the name Stan.
Mm-hmm.
Autonomous valet robot. stand in a pilot program to see just how many cars can be crammed into Gatwick's parking lots. The trial will start in August in Zone B of Gatwick's long-term parking. It will run for 3 months,
nice,
coinciding with the busier parts of the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
All drivers will need to do is drop their car in a predetermined drop-off location, then summon Stan through a touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
The car will be scanned to determine its size. Then Stan will load the car onto its built-in ramp and ferry the car to a spot where it will fit.
You'll, like, shoehorn it in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
The robots run on electricity and use GPS to determine their location.
Oh, boy. What could go wrong there, Bob?
Well, we all know.
If they're a little off by a few inches, you can just hear the cars going, oops.
Well, there's a really neat video involved, so it's worth going to Computer Talk with Tab and scroll down the article.
Yeah.
Gatwick isn't the first airport to try out this tech, which can jam more cars into a lot than usual because doors won't need to be opened.
Right.
Trials have already completed at Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport, in addition to other locations including Lyon and Dusseldorf.
Neat.
Parking is never fun, whether it's tight urban streets filled with millions of cars or the simple act of trying to find an airport parking space remotely near anything travel-related.
Try to find where you parked your car after you get back. That's the worst thing.
Well, you know, you got to take pictures.
We did. Have you been to Bradley? Those ramps are all named the same thing. We were walking around for like 20 minutes trying to find our car when we got back.
Okay.
We had the picture.
Well, the travel-related frustration could be reduced by the extra convenience, and better yet, you don't need to tip a robot.
Yeah.
That's the punchline.
Right. Well, we'll put these links up over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show, which also works.com. If you go on Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, it might get into your news feed. And, of course, if you follow us on Twitter at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your Twitter feed. Two lines open for you guys, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Steve in Winstead first. Morning, Steve. What can we do for you, sir?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
You set me up with a perfect line. What could go wrong there with artificial intelligence?
Oh, I know.
There has been some talk about it last week. There was a guy who was interviewed, and he says, basically, we're not going to be able to regulate our way out of it. And it got me thinking along the lines of your quote from 2001. You used it last week. Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Of course.
And so with things that can go wrong with the computer, like, say, batteries that can overheat, never break wiring that eventually breaks.
Yeah.
It could lead the super smart intelligence to suddenly develop something like dementia. And it got me thinking, you know, we're playing with fire. They're really getting it to a point where it's in our faces, in our lives.
Yep.
And it could put us at peril. And so it got me thinking also on a couple other films.
Yeah.
One of them was, I saw these when I was a kid, about 8 years old.
Yeah.
One of them was Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one was Demon Seed, where the house gets taken over by the computers and the...
I haven't seen that one.
You gotta see it.
I will.
The Simpsons did a little parody on their Halloween episodes on it. It's so funny, but it's the kind of thing where I'm going, well, when is this going to eventually come to a, you know, ahead with where it's going.
I don't know. Even the smart guys out there like Elon Musk is afraid of AI. All these guys are saying we should be afraid. I mean,
he's the one who's pushing it more than anybody at the same time.
Yes, right. I hear you. Yeah. I mean, AI, any kind of genetic engineering, all this kind of stuff, you have to, quote unquote, trust the smart guys, the scientists, that they're not going to do anything to harm us, right? But then, you know, what happened in the Manhattan Project? They produced a thing that's pretty devastating. So AI, I wouldn't be surprised if something causes some major catastrophe because the computer. But it's, if you think about, you know, sci-fi and all that kind of stuff, I don't think we're that. Part of me thinks that we're not as smart as we think we are, and I don't think the AI is going to be as smart as the writers have depicted it. Maybe it's just me being foolhardy. But I just don't think we're that good If you look at Windows 10, for example, and it's the year 2019, and Microsoft even can't get it to update properly still, right? You know, is it really that intelligent? Should we really be that concerned that we're going to get some smart system that's going to cause some sort of catastrophe? I think that's it might just be a little a little conceited on our part to think we can design that type of. I mean, AI is going to help us make smarter decisions, we hope, right? So you have somebody, the system thinking about it, but to have it conscious, which is kind of where you're going, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I don't know how far away that will be. And maybe I'm naive, but if you can't get Windows 10 to upgrade properly by now, I think we have a ways to go before our toaster attacks us.
When the.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you've listened to our show for 23 years, we can't get a printer to print wirelessly on a regular basis. You know,
I've seen that happen with so many people.
Right? You can flip us. If we can, you know. So I'm not so concerned about the robots taking over. I would be more concerned about somebody programming something to do something to harm us, but that's a human intervention. You know?
The closest that I am to it is programming WTIC into my CD cassette radio.
There you go.
And that's as far as I want to go.
And that can be hard, too, for some people.
So. Well, I don't really use that too much. No. It's just, you know, it's there. Yeah. And I like to have the choice of it.
Sure,
this
sure.
Stuff, you really won't have much of a choice.
Well, right, and hopefully it makes our lives better and menial tasks and stuff, you know.
Well, when AI starts making decisions for us,
yeah,
you know, and they might decide that, you know, to get rid of all the illness in the country, we just get rid of the humans,
right. That's just too
which
easy.
Is the virus.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I don't
save the planet.
I don't think we're going to be there if they can't upgrade the Windows 10 properly. I think it's a long way away.
Yeah, but Windows 10 was done by humans. When the artificial intelligence starts writing its own code,
yeah,
it'll
like,
be perfect.
Like C-3PO said, machines, building machines, shut me down. Well, yeah, who knows? Even he was surprised, yeah. And he was in a galaxy far, far away, and they had lightsabers. I even found him being surprised about machines building machines kind of weird. Did that even make any sense to you? Of course they can build machines. We have cars doing that.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going to go with it. They'll eventually be able to produce themselves.
Right. And we'll all just sit back and watch Netflix.
Well, I was going to suggest there's also the Star Trek episode with Nomad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that could easily happen.
Yeah, wasn't that V'ger? Is that what you're talking about? Or Nomad?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? V'ger, Voyager?
Voyager, yeah.
Yeah, is that the one you're talking about, Steve?
Well, it was in the classic Star Trek episode.
Well, they had that one, and then they expanded upon the concept.
It's a changeling.
I don't remember that.
I remember the Nomad, but I forget what it was about. I'd have to go
again,
back.
All these science
Maximum Overdrive. Have you seen Maximum Overdrive?
No. Not the good one, I
guess.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Who has enough time in the world to see all this stuff? It's so hard to see it all.
Exactly.
Well, Steve. Well,
it was really good talking with you.
Yeah, thanks for chiming in.
You've definitely walked me away from the cliff.
Hopefully I'm right. I don't know.
I don't know. There were times when I couldn't get to sleep at night, but I think I'm starting to feel a little
better. Careful with your GPS, because you can still drive off a bridge or drive into a river.
Maps. I still use fold-out paper maps.
Well, then you're safer.
Much safer.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Keep watching this guy.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Let's do some more AI talk quickly here with Paul, who's on the road. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
You guys are talking about AI as if it's something in the future. What about Watson? I mean, I remember when IBM first developed it, the big thing was that Watson being a human playing chess.
Yeah.
Now I've seen these ads where Watson is being used by this company, that, you know, IBM's obviously renting it out to different companies to do forecasting for the business. And I honestly believe that AI, Watson is the, I don't know, the first baby step of AI. And,
sure.
You know, more and more of it. I mean, okay, space flight, you know, pretty much, you know, you talk to any astronaut that went to the moon, and what did they do between the Earth and the moon? Well, they basically just sat back and watched a bunch of dials and gauges because the computer was running the ship.
Right.
Hal's great-great-great-great-grandfather.
right. Well, yeah. So, you know, again, the word AI has been demonized so much by the movies, right? What do you mean by AI, right? Having a computer, you know, do modeling for you. I mean, we have AI predicting the weather, right? You've got the European, yeah. You got the European model and the American model, and I watch Paul Maxon literally pulling his hair out on NBC 30, trying to figure out which model to use. You look at those spaghetti strings of where all the hurricanes are going, and we can't tell you for between an hour from when it started where it's going. So, and that's just predicting. I'm not saying it's a small model, but it's if you can't do that, I'm not so concerned about them turning on Skynet, frankly. And speaking of Watson, there's a news article that I actually was going to bring up back in the fall about IBM overhyping its health promises. And I can put the link up here for you, but it doesn't seem to be delivering. I mean, it does a great job on Jeopardy, but can it help you with predicting, you know, or dealing with cancer? I don't know that it's doing such a great job so far based on this article. So I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe who knows.
I mean, we can't lose sight of the fact that until it gets to the point where it becomes self-aware and Skynet and all that.
Well, yeah, that's the question. Can it have consciousness? Can it achieve consciousness? We got humans that aren't fully conscious, so I don't know.
I mean, we're at, you know, you got to remember that old acronym from back before you were born, GIGO.
GIGO. What is that?
Garbage in, garbage out.
Oh, right.
Garbage out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the computers that will come along that think they know what they're doing will screw up their programming.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, we're in the dawning of the age of Aquarius as far as computers are concerned. And fortunately for all of us listening to this show,
yeah,
we're all going to be long dead.
Yeah. We'll be dust. I think we have a long way to go. I'm hoping I'm right on that as far as having them achieve consciousness. So I don't think we should be afraid, Paul. But hey, thanks for chiming in.
Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, you too. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk with Tab, Laurie, and Carla. Hang on. Two lines open for you. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And if you want to talk about AI, that's fine with me, too. Feel free to get online. And everything we talk about will be posted. I'll post that thing about IBM and their Watson overhype in a second as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. Terminator music there for you. AI discussions we had. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you think about AI, I was doing a little more, put some more links up here for you. What they're using Watson really for is to answer common questions. So if you happen to be Autodesk, right? So what they've done with Watson is they've compiled all the most common questions, and then it spits it back to these folks who ask them so that you can eliminate customer service reps, right? That's kind of what they're doing with that. Lufthansa is using Watson to figure out how to sell you more travel. Royal Bank of Scotland, again, using Watson to create its own digital assistant able to answer over 5,000 customers' questions. All they're doing is answering the same questions, you know, that are asked by their customers, and they're having the automated system do that. That doesn't sound really that's scary to me as far as Terminator coming to get you with artificial intelligence, but it is a great way to leverage technology. I mean, I've seen there's an attorney out there, and I can't remember what his name is or what I saw, but there's a lot of legal work that's done in these, you know, these big skyscrapers of attorneys, and all they're doing is the same thing over and over and over again with contracts, and you can write a program that'll do it automatically for you.
Well, they use it. They call it boilerplate.
Well, that's how the attorney would start, and then right. Cut and paste the contract for your specific need. I mean, they don't rewrite the contract every time, but they've got artificial intelligence software that can go ahead and make the edits without even having the attorney do anything. That'll save on attorneys. So there's all sorts of things, but it's not to the point where, you know, it's not to the point where you should be afraid yet, I don't think. Let's go on to Lori in Deep River. Hey, Lori.
Good morning.
Morning.
Having fun with a 2011 MacBook Pro.
Okay.
It's running version 10.7.5, which is Lion.
All right.
And the QuickTime Player version 10.1.
Okay.
Now, when we're trying to run, when we're out on the motorcycles, we'll take videos of where we're going and then trying to play them back. And it's gotten to the point where it won't close the previously run video. So you open the window and it'll show it's got four or five or six or seven other movies, if you will, running at the same time. So the one that we're watching, every other second or so it pauses, and then it pauses, and then it pauses. So you get these freeze as you're going down the road. How do we make this thing quit? All the close, all the other windows. We've tried the control, command, Q.
And I just do it for when I'm using QuickTime as this, you know, upper right hand corner of my windows. I hit X when I'm done watching that video. You don't have a way to do that too. And it won't stop.
It doesn't seem that they're running, but they're all open.
Oh well,
so it seems like there's too many of them open, and we can't close them down.
But if they're just sitting in the background open, I don't think they're taking up any CPU cycles.
Can't tell you. That's the only thing we can think of is that there's just too many of them.
Open, but you can't close them. You can't close the window.
I haven't been able to figure out how to close them all.
No, that's weird.
Yeah.
How is it up to date? Is that QuickTime up to date? Is it the latest version?
It's 10.1, and it's when he's gone to look for other versions of it, he's not even finding it anymore.
Hmm.
I mean, it's running running MP4s that are taken on an SD micro card or put on a micro card.
Okay.
And then plugged into the computer.
Yeah. So I'm looking up for your, trying to find your particular issue where you can't close the window.
Yeah.
I didn't see a whole lot out there. Did you do any research to see people having this issue?
Yeah. That's where we found the control command Q.
But it's not working. You do control Q and then you have to make sure that window is highlighted, right?
We're in the window.
And you won't close.
Yeah.
Is your Q key broken?
Not that I know.
Just checking.
I mean, you know, it's the quirky type, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't understand. There's nothing here that I can find that are having this type of issue. Have you seen anything, Bob?
Not anything that you haven't already mentioned.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre. You know, if this is a thing, more than a few people will have it.
Right.
Noman said they can't stop an app from running.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an Apple user, so I don't know exactly any other workarounds, but I'm sure there are Apple listeners out there. They're going to say, oh, Eric, you got to tell them to do this. I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll keep listening.
Yeah, you might find somebody to call in and say, if they did this, this will end any Apple window, no matter what you're doing. But the Q key sounds pretty powerful. If quitting is pretty strong, you know?
Yeah, we would think it would.
Yeah.
And it's just been going on for a while, and of course, this morning it's...
So you're like
it's playing through normally right this moment.
But you've got like 15 windows open behind it.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Now it's showing just the one. So I don't know. I think it knew that we were calling about it.
Oh, it's AI again.
It's AI. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
But if you keep going and open up more videos, the old one will just sit there. You
it's
can't
probably
get
just
rid of
gonna it. Sit there in the background, yeah.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
It should be something you should be able to clear. I guess we'll have to wait to see if anybody else has any answers for us. I'm still looking, but I haven't found anything that says, you know, an Apple window won't quit or a QuickTime window won't quit.
Yeah, it's the QuickTime player that just pauses the video repeatedly, so you get these freeze frames, which is rather annoying.
Well, we do have Bob found a link as to how to force quit an application.
Okay.
Yeah, if you close the application and reopen it, maybe it'll go back to normal. I don't know. I'm not a Mac user.
Yeah.
Well, it's been open and closed and open and closed.
Is there a different viewer you can use for MP4s besides the Quick Viewer?
Can you use a different viewer other than the MP4, other than the QuickTime?
Is there probably...
I could use iPhoto.
See it.
Can you do iPhoto?
Yeah, try something different to see
but
if it...
iPhoto won't open up from the Contour folder.
Oh, yeah. iPhoto is not opening from the Contour. The Contour is the video device that we take the videos on when we're on the bike.
I see.
And it won't open that folder. So that's the problem. I know.
All right. We'll see if we can find a different way for you to go. From what I understand, Lion is an older operating system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a 2011, and when it dies, it dies. That's it.
No, I hear you.
Else, so.
I don't blame you, but maybe there's part of the problem is that your QuickTime's new and your Lion is a little old, and it's not reacting the way it's supposed to.
No, they're both... This is a newer problem.
Okay.
This computer has been static for a couple of years now that we haven't done any upgrade.
Okay.
When was the last time it even went online?
Occasionally goes online. Yeah,
very rarely.
Maybe you should update it.
I don't think this one had an update.
Oh, okay.
Not for this
Yeah, this system couldn't be updated any further.
All right.
That's why we stopped this one at Lion.
All right. So let's see if we can find some other users out there that might have some answers for you. And we'll put a few things up here that we have found that you that might be of help to you.
Okay.
And
okay. We'll check out the page then.
Yeah, see if that can see if it'll work for you, Carla. I mean, Lori.
Carla, thank you.
Okay. Carla's next. The problem with this screen is that the green is brighter for the person coming up than the person I'm talking to.
Don't worry about it.
All right, Lori.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
thank
you guys
you.
Too. All right, bye-bye. That's interesting. Never seen that happen where you can't cancel an app. This refuses to quit.
I see it. But
well,
I use Task Manager.
You can kill it.
But, you know, I don't know how to do that in Mac.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty weird. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break here. Three lines open for you. Carla, we're going to get to you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We were talking about AI. If you have any examples of AI in what you do, or if you have any concerns about artificial intelligence where you can give some examples, that's fine too, or some great benefits that we need to hear. We're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. We are back. Just trying to figure out how to force a MacBook Pro to quit running QuickTime. And I guess you can use the Option, Command, and Escape. That's a little seems a little drastic. It's like they say it's like pressing Control Alt Delete. But Control Alt Delete is more can be force a reboot. You don't necessarily want to reboot.
Well, you can, yeah, but you would also bring up Task Manager.
Yeah,
when
for
you hit
Windows.
That.
So I don't know. If you guys have any answers for Lori, that'd be handy for us. Let's go on to Carla in Glastonbury, see what she's got cooking. Hey, Carla, what's up?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
By the way, with the AI, Dan Brown wrote a book, Origin. I'm not sure if you mentioned that. It's about an AI, Winston, that he mixes religion and AI, and it's really an interesting book.
Yeah, I like Dan Brown's stuff. That's
yeah, cool. No, it was a good book. My question is a basic question that probably people have asked before, but we're looking to buy another computer because ours is a Windows 7 and it won't have backup or assistance, whatever, in 2020, as you said before.
Oh, support, quote unquote, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking now and it's just so confusing. I've looked at Consumer Reports, at different websites, different brands, and we actually want to get two computers, one for financials and another for just doing emails and internet.
Yeah, smart.
And I was just wondering, what is the best way to go about, because I go online, I read about different computers, and then some people love it, some people hate it, which is probably common.
Oh, yeah.
And there's all different models. You look up one model, and it does say Consumer Reports has it. You look it up, and it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
What is a way of finding a basic, simple, I'm thinking for the financials, Google Chrome, a laptop, and for a regular computer, possibly a desktop or another laptop?
Yeah, I mean, desktops, if you're not going to be mobile with it, are great. They'll last a lot longer than laptops do because you're not going to pick them up and drop them, and they've got a lot more space to do cooling. So I like your idea, doing a Chromebook. For your financial stuff that's online, right?
Right.
And
right.
That makes sense. And just use it for that. Make sure you still have OpenDNS running and then close it up when you're not using it. Don't let anybody else use it. But that could be anything with a couple $100 range. But for a PC, I mean, we like HP for laptops. And as far as people's opinions on the quality, unfortunately, is a lot of the components that are in all these machines are all made by the same companies. So the hard drive will be from Western Digital, no matter what computer you purchase. The processor is probably from Intel, no matter which computer you purchase.
Mm-hmm.
The motherboards could be ASUS or Supermicro or who knows what. Very similar across the board as far as what you're finding in each brand. So it comes back down to the warranty of the device you're purchasing and where you get it serviced. So if you can look locally, if you go to like a local Staples or something like that, at least you have people when you have an issue to deal with, rather than trying to call mail order and then talking to the third world's help desk. And
right.
they go through a chart to figure out if then, and go back to the top. It's really difficult to find a good example. But if you go on all these, CNET, maybe Consumer Reports is a place to look as well to see what they think about the machines. But you're going to get about 6 years of good service out of a PC that you drop maybe $600 to $800 on. Okay, it should give you 6 years of service. For a laptop or a Chromebook, you're only going to spend a couple hundred dollars. So really, who cares how long it gives you? Because it's right. If you drop it, you're not going to go get it repaired, right?
I don't think so, right.
Yeah. So it's really gets down to the PC. I would get an i5 processor minimum. Don't get an i3.
What is that?
i5 level processor.
Okay.
So look for an Intel, 8 gigs of RAM minimal on your PC. A hybrid drive is nice, so it's got a little bit of a solid state built in. And then Windows 10. And you can spend about $800 on that. It should give you about six years of service or longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you can spend less. It just may give you less performance. The reason it's cheaper is because they've put some cheaper stuff in it. They didn't decide to make that computer $800 and yours computer $600. They're all different. The different components produce the different results.
Right, right. Okay. And they just have, it seems like nowadays it's like so many frills on it, like for gaming and different things, but they still do have basic computers. Yeah,
of course.
For the $600, $800 range.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, you'll have no problem finding all sorts of options in that range.
Okay, and you're saying HP seems to be a reliable type?
Yep. We sold a lot of HP. This is on the business side of things for our clients for laptops. But they have their troubles too. Like you said, you can pretty much go anywhere and look for the comments and you're going to have people giving them 1 star and people giving them 5.
Right, right. Now that's what's so amazing. That, you just don't know if they got a lemon or it was...
It's experience. Like we support a lot of businesses, over 400 businesses. And I have to explain to them why it's important to have a backup. Because across my experience, we see failure all the time. But the business I'm talking to hasn't experienced one yet. So why should I protect my business against a failure when I've never seen one? Kind of like saying, like an insurance agent telling you you shouldn't buy life insurance because you're not dead yet.
Right.
But believe it or not, that's what you're dealing with based on your experience. So same thing with those. Take it with a grain of salt, all those reviews. And half of them are probably fake anyways. Paid for by somebody, again, in the third world with nothing to do, just typing in reviews.
Now, is there any company like HP, if you do have, or you're saying it doesn't really pay to call the company, it's better to go to a store that...
I think local is always better. Have a relationship with somebody that you trust versus calling, mail order support. Some of it can be okay, but if...
You can't give the information of local,
No.
Local, you can't really...
I really don't know any that I could recommend per se, but each town probably has some... little hole in the wall computer shop that you could ask your friends and neighbors, hey, have you ever used this guy or gal before?
Right, right.
And that's really how you're going to use, that's how you're going to choose your laundromat, that's how you're going to choose your tailor, it's how you're going to choose your lawyer. It should be the way you choose your computer guy. Because believe it or not, when you give him your computer, you're giving him everything that you did on the computer to look at.
Exactly.
You almost want to trust them more than your accountant or your attorney. Because the accountant's only getting your tax information. They're not getting everything.
Right, right.
So.
Just one other question.
Yeah.
Windows 10, is that going to be around for a while now? Is that the most recent?
Microsoft's going to call every operating system Windows 10 going forward from what we understand.
Yeah, what it is they're changing the version. So they started off with, if you type in search WinBur, you'll get like the original versions with 16.03, 16.09, and then they upgraded, but it's Windows 10, but it's version 17.03, 17.09.
Or 18.03.
Now, you got 18.03 and 18.09, and they're not supporting 16.03 anymore.
Yeah, so it's going to be a little more complicated for you, but it's all called Windows 10.
Right, right. What is the most up-to-date version of Windows 10 now? Do you know?
I think it's
1809.
1809? Yeah. Right. I only got 1803, so I'm behind. Oh, no.
Okay.
They put out 1809 last, August, I think, and they had to pull it back.
Yeah.
And then they subsequently supposedly fixed it and re-released it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you think that's a good operating system? I mean,
it's a operating system. The word good is debatable. Same thing with Apple's operating system, Google's, you know, browser system. They are a operating system.
We need to do that song. Every OS sucks.
Yes. Yeah, we should.
No, because you mentioned 600 to 800, so that means that doesn't cover an Apple, because Apples seem to be...
Oh, you could buy three computers for the price of an Apple. Apple has a little bit of cachet around their product, so it's, you know... A little lighter, a little faster, a little thinner, a lot more expensive.
Yeah,
but it still runs on the same hardware a lot of times that the PCs do, but they get you to pay more for it because they're Apple. Good, you know, the Corinthian leather is on the Apple.
Oh, shit.
But hey, I'm just teasing the Apple guys. It's a great product, don't get me wrong. But you can you can buy a lot more PC for the dollar than you can an Apple, especially for what you said you were going to use it for.
Yeah, just basic. So, hey. Yeah. HP, you're saying, would be a deep brand. And
sure.
What about a Dell? Or you can't really...
Yeah, I've never been a big fan.
Yeah, I know. That's what we have now. And that's, well, ours, it's never... I don't know if it's the computer or the Windows.
How old is it, Carla?
Oh, that's another thing. It's probably like 4 or 5 years old.
No, it's still kind of young then.
Is it?
Yeah.
For me, the issue...
For most callers to this show, that's a young PC.
For me, the issue with Dell is it depends on who owns it when you're buying it, because Michael Dell has sold the company and bought it back twice or three times now.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sells it, it goes down, and when he buys it back, it comes back.
Yeah, he has more interest in it. So, but 4 or 5 years in that computer, you might have not bought enough computer in the first place if it's causing you issues.
Right. I don't know if it's us or we just had a problem with the mouse where... we would have a problem. We couldn't find the mouse. The arrow was disappearing, but we tried a different location to plug in the mouse, and that seems to work.
Yeah. You could have a faulty USB port. That happens.
Okay, and that's what we did. We have another one. We moved it to another one, and it seems to be working now. But
nothing wrong with that.
If you're buying a computer, you want to buy on specs, not on price.
Yeah. The specs I gave you, you know, i5, 8 gigs of RAM. So Windows 10, hybrid hard drive. All right, Carla, I got to let you go.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, bye.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Go to Facebook and like us at Tab Computer Systems. And if Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, it just might get into your news feed. And if you follow us on the old Twitter... We'll tweet it to you via Tab Computer Sys. We'll be right back.